What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
January the 22nd, 1999, is a day forever etched in the memory of Gladys Staines. It's the day that her husband Graham, along with their young sons, Timothy and Philip, were burnt alive by a group of around 50 Hindu extremists in Orissa, India, where Graham had been working with the poor, especially those with leprosy. Gladys joins me in the studio today. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you, Rodney.
Take us back to the days before that tragedy. What were you involved in there as a family?
The majority thing that we were involved in was the working with treating leprosy patients. We had a leprosy home there with about 70 to 80 inpatients. The majority of them, some of them had not been able to return to their homes because though they were treated and cured, they weren't allowed back in their own homes because of the stigma of leprosy. Graham had also been involved in church work and encouraging the Christians. When I say church work, he would go out in the villages and take the opportunity of sharing about the love of Jesus when he could. But the majority of the work he was involved in was with the leprosy home.
So he's doing that work, and what was it that caused these Hindu extremists to take action against your family?
I don't really know. It's a surmise, but there had been increasing persecution against Christians up until that. In 1988, the persecution was increasing, where those who didn't like people coming to Christ were trying to create problems. Whether or not, I don't really know, but someone being in the forefront is always the target, so I guess that's it, but I don't know. They know.
Okay, as difficult as I know it must be, give us a bit of an understanding of what happened on that night.
Well, I was not present. My daughter Esther and I were actually in where we lived in Barry Porter, which is in the state of Orissa, about 250 kilometres southwest of Calcutta. And my husband and two sons, Philip and Timothy, who were 10 and 6 at the time, had gone out to a jungle camp, which we actually called Christian Conventions. They had gone out to a more remote area where people had started coming to Christ about 20 years previous for the Christian Convention. About 200 people were gathered for the convention. And what I'm told is that about midnight, a group of people armed with sticks and I don't know what else but torches, and it was a planned attack apparently, as they came with a group with identifying marks on them, a headband around. And they came and attacked the jeeps, which my family were sleeping in. That they loved sleeping in the jeep. The other accommodation was temporary straw huts, which they loved sleeping in also. About 200 Christians gathered there, some staying in the local houses. And they came, the mob came and started beating the jeeps, and I don't know what else ensued in the middle. There had been a dance before that, which had made a lot of noise, and then after some time they set the jeeps alight and my family were killed. It was a planned attack, and about 12:35 or something, I believe that the family actually died. Whether they were killed beforehand or died in the fire, I don't know. And nobody knows.
It's certainly a difficult thing to come to terms with, but the thing that has amazed so many people is your willingness to forgive. And a lot of people have talked about that. But I guess if we just say that this happened and you forgave the people who did it, we'd be selling the story short, because there'd be a whole lot more to it. And I'm sure that just saying that you forgave them doesn't mean that it wasn't a difficult time.
Oh, it was certainly a very difficult time. I received the news first thing in the morning at 4:30 in the morning that the jeeps had been burned. It was another 5 hours before I actually got confirmation that the family had actually died, and I guess I just blocked that out of my mind that would have even been a possibility. I just thought the jeeps were burned. But the shock doesn't really hit you until, sometime later. But I remember saying to my daughter, when we were sort of trying to find out what was happened, when we found out, I found out they were they had been killed, and I said, we'll forgive. And she said, yes, Mummy, we will forgive. She was only 13. I mean, that's God's doing, really. And I didn't know all the details, but I had this history of knowing that, well, believing that we should forgive, and as Scripture teaches that we do need to forgive. I mean, there's many passages in the Bible that tell us to forgive, not seven times, but 70 times seven, which will probably endlessly. But, you know, Jesus forgave, and because I've had my sins forgiven through Jesus Christ, then we are also taught to forgive those who do something wrong against us, and that comes out in Matthew, in the Lord's Prayer. Those of us who say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. And then further on it says, if we do not forgive others who sin against us, the Lord cannot forgive us. Our Heavenly Father, that's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, which we often don't, you know, realise. But so when I got this, we were able to forgive at that point. But yes, it sort of, as the day wore on, people started pouring in. As in India, you don't grieve alone, you grieve with the whole community, and the house just became full of people, and the authorities came to investigate, and it was a very difficult time, especially then those from the press and the media started flooding in and saying, well, are you upset? No, are you angry? And I said, well, no, I'm not angry, but I'm upset, of course. But it was just God enabled me at that time. He just, it was like underneath our everlasting arms, and it was just God just lifted me up at that time. Just more and more and more people came, but eventually I sort of realised, because, you know, God allows things to happen. I'm not saying God actually caused it to happen, but he does allow things to happen. And Graham had a great love for people in India and really longs to see them come to know Jesus Christ as the point of salvation. And so I realised, God sort of just put something in me, and I realised I had this tremendous opportunity now, after I'd said those words, to actually tell people who Jesus Christ was. So across the world I was able to do that by radio and TV.
You had some great opportunities come by the fact that you've forgiven people, and many people are still amazed that you could forgive people that have done this. But I guess the forgiveness and the healing are two different things, and it must have taken a long while for the healing to happen.
Well, I often quote, and it's that forgiveness actually brings healing. In retrospect, I have looked back on the fact that I did forgive at that point, and therefore healing did actually start working in my life. I often identify it as like drought, when you've got drought and a dry, parched land, and God sends the rain and it heals up the cracks in the land, and then new growth comes, or like if you've got a wound or oil, you know, you sort of put oil or ointment on it, and it starts the healing process. So I believe that actually the speaking the words at the time that we will forgive was a beginning of a healing process. Now, it doesn't mean to say I haven't missed my family. I have, and I still do, even 9 years later. But it's not that bitter. It's not that bitter. It's not a bitterness. It's a missing, but I have that great hope that I'm going to meet them again in heaven, because I know that that's where they are, and that's a great assurance to me. So when I start to get alone or you know, would love to have my family around, just God keeps comforting me, but I'm still human. I still do miss them, and I still, yeah, there's still sometimes an ache in my heart because they're not there. So, but God has sort of used that, what happened, to actually bring many more people in India have actually said, I want to know who Jesus is, and I want to know how my sins can be forgiven through Jesus. And I also know there's many more people from within India, Christians, who said, well, why do we need someone from India, from outside, to come and tell our people about Jesus? What are we doing ourselves? And there's people who are actually serving in the mission field in India, Indians, suffering and being beaten up sometimes because they're sharing the gospel.
98.5 Sunshine FM. I'm talking to Gladys Staines this morning. We're talking on forgiveness, and that forgiveness and that healing that took place for you was really displayed by the fact that you continued to work with the poor and the lepers in India. It must have been a difficult thing, but you felt you were called to continue the work that, that Graham had begun.
Yes, well, when I first went to India in 1981, I went actually through that state, and there's a whole long story which I can't go into today on that. But I had known from the age of 18 that God wanted me to serve him overseas. I just went to, I think it was a Keswick convention or something, there was a mission call, and I went forward, and that was like a seal on my life that God wanted me to serve him overseas. So that affected all of my decisions, including marriage. And so when, after Graham, in 1981, I was passing through this village in the same district where we were, I finally ended up living for 20 years. And I just saw the villages, and my heart just longed to go into those villages. And I believed that that was God's call on my life to that particular place, not just because I met Graham later and I married him. And so when he was killed, I thought, well, God, I wasn't just here because of Graham. I was here because God called me here. But a bigger thing than that, even at the time, was after having lived there by that point 15 and a half years, I'd met Graham in that place. I came back to Australia, got married, went back, and my three children were born there. So virtually my whole married life had been spent there. I'd learnt the language. I'd come to know the staff we were working with, the people in the churches, the leprosy patients, although they change because obviously they come and go. And I just had this great, I didn't want to go. In fact, the first day I walked around the house and sort of looked at things, and I thought, Lord, I don't want to have to leave here, because I thought I might have to due to visa issues and things. And so I saw all the people around me. I mean, they were grieving too. Many of them had known Graham many more years than I had, because he'd already been in India 18 years when in that place before we got married. So to them, he was their elder brother. So it wasn't just our family grief. It was a whole community family grief, in the sense that he was like an elder brother to them. And I thought, well, if I have to go home, they've lost both him and me. And I mean, I finally did come home in 2004 because of my daughter's education, but so I just didn't even want to come home at that point. I wanted to stay there, because that's why I was there, because God wanted me there, and they'd become family to me.
Well, your story is certainly one of great healing, and of how to forgive, and the story has been told in the book Burnt Alive, and that's, I imagine, available in Christian bookstores, and tells a bit of the story behind what went on, and also your story of forgiveness.
Yes, well, it's Kurong will actually order it in. We have some copies. Mike, who's here with me, has some copies available, but get in contact with, I can give you the details, and you can get in contact, they can get in contact through you. And
certainly, yeah, people can give us a call here at Sunshine FM, and we can pass on some details of how you can get that story, because it's far more than we can tell in just a few moments. Yes. on air. But for people who perhaps have had something tragic happened in their past, or things that they find it difficult to let go of, and they're waiting for a healing to come before they forgive, what would your advice to them be?
I would say, ask God to help you to forgive. It's not always easy. It's often very difficult, and it's often easier to forgive someone way out there who you're not meeting face to face than those who are actually close to you. But I have found God has really helped me, and forgiveness actually brings healing. I don't know for sure if it's the other way around, but that's what I have experienced. Forgiveness brings healing. And there's a beautiful poem that I knew from, it's by Anna Johnson Flint, called He Giveth More Grace. It goes, He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labours increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy, to multiplied trials his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when strength is all gone, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's giving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power no boundary known unto men, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And that has been a beautiful poem, that grace that God gives us, and we have to ask for it. It's not something that we can get just today, a whole dose of grace for tomorrow. We need it day by day. And I have found that that has been a really great thing. And I mean, if you want to find that poem, look up the internet, just type in He Giveth More Grace, or it's in some of the church hymnals.
Gladys, it's an inspirational story, and I know that you don't take credit for it. You give the glory back to God. We'd like to thank you for your time here, giving us just a little bit of the story of what happened and of the forgiveness that came after it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Rodney. God bless you.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.